Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Welcome back. We're going to continue talking about self-compassion today. We're going to talk about meeting our own needs with self-compassion. And we've talked a little bit before about how self-compassion can be the way you treat your friends, the way you treat at least some of your family, I assume, turning that inward. It's hard to take care of ourselves if we're not meeting our own needs.
I do think we make it more complicated than it needs to be. My favorite is when I talk to people about self-care and they're like, well, doesn't this technically mean self-care? And I'm like, there's a difference between meeting my needs and self-care. Let's also just be very well aware of that. They're very similar, can have some overlap, but they are two different concepts. Self-care is kind of going above and beyond, but taking care of my needs we're talking about, like Taylor said, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, kind of a feeling of, if you don't know, it's this, you know, the old fashioned pyramid we used to have for like food, but this one was about like, hey, what needs does a person have to survive? And the bottom is like shelter, warmth, food, water. And then it goes up into being like emotional needs being met and, you know, sexual needs, all these different things. But for self-compassion, to take care of needs, those are the basics. We're not just saying like, I want to have like a nice little feeling every single day because of this really great practice. It's saying like, no, in order to have like a workable amount of energy, I need to do these things to help me function and feel good about myself. Not I'm the best in the world, but feel in a way of like, I'm a human being and I deserve value. Like what things bring me to that part that make me feel like I can have the basic of basic sensations with that.
I think it's interesting, even as we talk about Maslow's hierarchy of need, which I know kids now go over in elementary school, which I think is great that we teach it really young. I don't think people know, like if you were to say, what's the third one? Like if you say, what's your first need? Physiological needs are the very bottom right: air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, reproduction, those kinds of things, bottom level needs. The second level, safety, right? So I think most people could have those first two. They kind of know that's where they're at. The third one, as a reminder, is love and belonging. And so now we're talking about healthy relationships. And I don't know about you guys, but I think this is where a lot of people struggle to say, I'm going to give myself permission to meet the needs I have for healthy relationships. I know that as an adult, I've struggled at times to say I need to have better boundaries or I need to seek out those healthier relationships.
I like how Brené Brown says that fitting in is the opposite of belonging.
And again, such a good fitting in is about like survival, at least in junior high and high school. It's about survival, right? This is a lower level of need where we're moving into the belonging and being seen and known and cared about and giving ourselves permission to seek out those experiences. And I would say even permission to heal the parts of us that maybe are scared to seek out those types of experiences.
I also think like with what you guys are talking about, think of a puzzle. Fitting in is just, I'm making it work. I'm whatever, you know, but it's not going to look actually like it fits. It's not going to feel comfortable. It's going to maybe break the puzzle piece. But belonging in a place means the space has been made, right? And so when it comes to this idea of my needs being met and, you know, my needs being met and being able to recognize that, you know, I have a place for them, it's not that I'm an afterthought. It's that I'm a priority and that I have space to do what I need to do.
Some of the areas that we look at providing to, like if we break down, okay, so I feel like my relationships are okay. There are some things that I found as they look into self-compassion. So facing discrimination or prejudice, giving yourself permission to say, like, hey, I'm actually not being treated very good, or I'm not getting paid what I'm worth at work, or I'm not feeling really seen and appreciated in my life. That's a type of self-compassion. That's a type of providing. Another one, and we've talked about chronic illness in a previous episode as part of a trauma, but did you know that providing, meaning figuring out how to endure chronic conditions and how to embrace the self-compassion around dealing with those is part of providing for yourself versus just sitting there miserable. It's about how do I comfort myself through some of the really difficult things I'm going through. Another area that they talk about is dealing with self-doubt. Starting to see, and we talked a little bit in the last episode about your genius. Do you value yourself? Do you see yourself as worth? Do you acknowledge, hey, these are the things I'm good at, and this is where I have that value? Imposter syndrome. I won't have you raise your hand if you've ever experienced imposter syndrome, but it's
no.
It's
very, raise your hand.
Raise your
wherever you're listening to this. Raise your hand.
Well,
raise
explain what imposter syndrome is, because I think that's another mental health done a disservice on social media. What is imposter syndrome?
It's where you are in a role and you feel like you don't belong, that you have somehow tricked people into getting a job that you are underqualified for.
And it could be like career job, it could be relationship job, you know, like in your marriage, parenthood, you know, serving in your community in some way, any
your friend
of those
group
roles.
Yeah.
In your friend group, for sure, versus saying, I have value to give. And it really is, especially as we go through different changes in our lives, something we experience. When we provide ourselves with permission to say, I'm allowed, and I love that these things go together, right? So fierce self-compassion doesn't mean we don't have any tenderness. What it means is to say, you can show up, you can own, you have this much experience and you have this much to offer. And it may not be perfect because you're human. We talked about that in the common humanity aspect, but you do have unique strengths and qualities, and treating yourself with kindness related to that is really important. Another part of providing for yourself from a self-compassion is recovering from trauma and abuse.
Yeah, I find people struggle with that one. They think that if I don't remember it, I don't have trauma. And trauma, like we talked about in previous episodes, is about how it rewires the brain, or how we relate to the present as if we're still in the past, whether we remember the trauma or not. And the other thing that people think they don't need to recover from trauma is if they're still able to hold a job, or if they still have a romantic relationship, not how they're showing up in the romantic relationship or the job.
Such a good experience. I just want to give a little plug. You know, one of the things that I love, and I always love when I get to go see my own therapist and I get to be the client and on the other side of that, because I have a really awesome therapist. But being able to just say, I'm struggling in this way, and going, doing the trauma work and saying, oh, I didn't realize I was still holding on to that piece of my childhood, or I didn't realize I was still holding on to that message. Providing myself opportunities to have those conversations with my therapist is not about I'm broken. It's about I'm treating myself like somebody who needs love and support. And everybody needs love and support.
Any exceptions to that?
Needing love and support?
Yeah. Well, you're shaking your head no. What if someone doesn't like people?
Well, love and support can look different for different people, right? So I think giving yourself permission to say love and support may not look the same. I have some people who love and support to them means a good old meme every once in a while that reaches to their darker side of the humor. Other people need hug and attention and a lunch date. It's okay. It's okay that you provide for yourself differently. And I think it goes back to what Haley brought up. I think it was Haley brought up about fitting in. It's not about doing the exact same thing for everyone. It's about making sure you belong in whatever experience you're having with that love and support. It's like, for me, Comic-Con will never be a form of love and support for me. And yet I love and support other people in whom they love and support Comic-Con.
I also think that when people just blanket reject people and say, I don't like people, that's, I haven't found an exception to that being a trauma reaction.
Oh, I would have a hard time saying that's not a trauma reaction either.
Unless I could see people on the spectrum saying like they have a really hard time around people, and that idea of like, you know, hugs and things like that, like they, it really just depends. It really depends on the lens we're looking at. It depends on,
Liking people versus not liking certain types of interactions. Are we talking about the difference there? Because I would agree that on the spectrum, people may not like certain types of interactions, but they can say, mm-hmm. you know, I like at least three people.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that that goes back to the idea of like, when you're saying people, do you mean like as a collective, or are you saying it like,
yeah, as a blanket people? Rejection?
Yeah. I think people can, I think I'm 100% okay to state, if someone states they don't like people, that that is their thing and they're okay with that. I think that that kind of goes back to, again, like this idea of like the fake news info that's going around about mental health and being like, you think you're an exception, you're not, you fall, you know, all these kinds of things. You know, if someone is stating they don't like people, my first inclination isn't to go, ooh, trauma reaction. I usually go, okay, that's what you need, right? If we're talking about basic needs, they're stating what they need and they need space, right? Just the safety part. And so I think for me, as therapists, are often it is go into that and say like why and what brought this about. But also I think as someone like, you know, most people listening to this aren't therapists, they're individuals and things like that. If someone's saying they don't like people, I think let them hold that space, let them have that, and they will figure that out. It's not your job to then go as a person and say, that's more a trauma reaction, you do like people. Because if they're wanting to make that space for themselves, maybe that's their basic need in that of, you know, maybe that's what they need, their self-compassion, you know, for towards themselves. It's just saying like, hey, you know, I need that space.
I think, I don't know if we're just using semantics, I think that you're both saying kind of the same thing. But I would agree with you, Haley. It's not your responsibility, right? Especially when we're talking about self-compassion, to go to someone else and say, hey, your response is wrong and you're not being compassionate with yourself. That is not the role of working on self-compassion, is to go around and be the self-compassion police or the you have trauma police, right? I, even as a therapist, I don't go around telling people they have trauma. I wait for people to come to me and say, hey, I want to work on stuff. So I think there might be some semantics. I would agree with Taylor, though. If you blanketly don't like people, there's a good chance you got hurt. I'm not saying you should like people. I'm just saying there's a good chance you got hurt by a lot of people, or about by significant people. And I'm with you, Haley, with, I don't think that means you have to like people to heal. You just, I think it's okay to have boundaries that work for you. So I'm kind of in both camps. I think that does, though, move us into this. There's two more areas that maybe we can just touch on. One, navigating difficult relationships, and acknowledging, part of providing is acknowledging how much toll a relationship is taking on you, and maybe even giving yourself permission to hold some boundaries around relationships that are taking up more space than you want them to, not that everyone else wants to, but that you personally want them to in your life. And the last one, that kind of area that I would say pay attention to providing, is managing stress. Give yourself permission to find some balance to stress, whatever that looks like. You know, for me, balancing stress looks like planning a trip every couple months, or taking a break away from things, time by a beach. And then there are times in my life where I've worked really hard. So it's not about never going in and doing a lot of hard things. It's about knowing that I'm going to need a break and I need to be proactive versus, and I've talked about this before, waiting till my body failed and I was on some kind of short-term disability and saying, oh, well, I'm just broken. That wasn't me providing for myself. Providing for myself has just taken a little more active response.
A good sign of meeting our needs, going back to what you said, Haley, of going above and beyond our basic needs is, do we no longer need to escape from the life that we have? Have we made a life such that we no longer need to escape or numb? Are we content? And content doesn't mean that you no longer want something, but that you are at a place where your life works for you.
And providing yourself the opportunity to create that life.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.